Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2, Acts, chapter 2. But if you served in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, or Coast Guard, would you please stand at this time? If you served in one of the branches of the armed forces, very good. Well, we thank you, gentlemen, for doing that for us. Let's give them a hand. I would like to say, and you may be seated, I would like to say there is $1,000 going to be to each of you. And we could write the check. Of course, it would bounce down the road. But anyways, thank you so very, very much. Let's stand together, if you're able. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 41. We think of Veterans Day as those who have served our country. But can I ask you, are you veterans of the Lord's army? And the fact of the matter is, if you are serving the Lord, if you are serving Christ, you can be a veteran of the greatest army in the world, and that of the Lord's army, the church. And verse 41 says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, that being Peter. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They were added to the church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the church. We thank you for each church that is proclaiming your gospel today. For that has made America great. And Lord, may the church continue its ministry until you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And when you get back to your Bible, would you please turn to Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse 17 down through verse 21. In verse 17 of Ephesians 3, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The introduction to our thoughts, when the Bible speaks of the church, it is usually, with this in mind, a congregation of called out, baptized believers dedicated to the purpose of God. To the purpose of God. What is this purpose? Three thoughts. First, to carry out the great commission of our Lord and Savior. That is the first purpose of a Bible-believing church, to carry out the Great Commission. Second, ordering and maintaining Christian worship. And third, to teach and enrich the believer. And that is our desire, that our church may be pleasing to the Lord. I have three main points. Number one, why should the church give God glory? Why should we give God the glory? Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We are to glorify our Heavenly Father. And we need to let our light shine. I mentioned earlier about Beacon Baptist Church or Lighthouse Baptist Church. We need to be a light for the cause of Christ. First, we should give Him glory because of what He is. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15. I know I'll be asking you to turn to a number of scripture references today, and hopefully you can keep along. But verse 15 says, "Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords." He deserves our praise. Our God, our Creator God, deserves our praise. And if others are not praising Him, doesn't mean that we also are free of the responsibility. No, we need to praise the Lord. Number two, because of what He did. John 3:16 says, "For God so," what? Loved the world, and what? Gave. He is the greatest giver of all time. This is what He did. He loved us and He gave to us. We were gone for a day and a half to Ohio. And you know, I was sending texts to my wife. I was flirting with her. Do you mind? I think it's great to flirt with your wife with texts. Okay, let me tell you that, gentlemen. Take a few moments through the day and send them a text. Flirt with them. Okay? And I sent one saying I couldn't wait to get home because I wanted to see her. And when I got home, I was excited. I wanted to wrap her in my arms and just hug the pajabbers out of her, whatever pajabbers are. And she goes, "I'm sick." "You guys, I got a sore throat." Nuts. I was, you know, I wanted to do that. You know, there are times the Lord wants to hug us and we throw up some excuse, don't we? "Not now, I don't want to be bothered, I don't have the time." I'm glad that God has time for us. I'm glad that He loves us. And there's nothing we can do to make Him love us more, or nothing we can do to make Him love us less. He loves us. Number three, because He has never told a lie. Titus 1:2 and 3a says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching." You think it's important that we preach the gospel? I believe that preaching is important. I received the magazine in the mail the other day. I receive it three times a year. And sometimes as I read through it, I get some good points. And this time as I was reading it, it was talking about worship. It's talking about worship. And in the magazine, it had a number of pictures. And on the stages. Most of them don't have platforms anymore. They have stages. They had the rock band up there, and they had the people raising their hand, and it's about worship. You know what they didn't have a picture of? They didn't have a picture of a preacher preaching. Of all the pictures in this magazine, not one picture of a man preaching. Isn't that where worship is? The preaching of the gospel? You know what they didn't have a picture of? They didn't have a picture of people reading their Bibles. It bothered me, and I'm thinking, what is worship if you take away the preaching and the reading of the Word of God? You know what I did with the magazine? It's right in the recycle. You know, it may have some good articles, but I think to myself, you're missing the point. It's about Christ. It's not about us, folks. Amen. It's about His Word. And it's bringing honor and glory to our God. Number two, we bring glory to God in the church through, if you would, the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. How do we bring glory to God in the church? Number one, in its music. In its music. Is music important in worship? The book of Psalms tells us that we are to sing. That the Psalms were hymns. And they were to sing to their Creator God. And notice what it says in Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think psalms and hymns are important. I like to sing it. We were there in Ohio, and you have 700 men singing. That's really exciting. And so I hit Donna's speed dial. It's number 4 on my phone. You say, well, why is she 4 and not number 1? Because my wife did the speed dials, okay? I didn't do it. If it were me, I would have made her all the even numbers or all, I'd have had a lot. But she did number 4, and I hit number 4, and she said hello, and I held up the phone so she could hear 700 men singing. She told me later that she could hear it. You know, I think it's good when we praise the Lord in song. In your hymnal, if you take your hymn book and come to page number 1 or song number 1, All Hail the Power. And on the other page, it says, next to the Bible is your hymn book. Enshrined within its pages, beautifully phrased in words and melody, are the songs written by the inspired saints of yesteryears and the poets and the composers of today. Its truths are glorious and priceless, worth more than silver and gold. With glad hearts we can share and sing the sublime truths of God's eternal goodness, His sovereignty, His will, a Zion to come, and the Savior's mighty love. It continues, but I am so glad for those that the Lord has given the ability to give us hymns that honor Him. That honor Him. Second, we bring glory to God in the church by the preaching that glorifies our great God. 2 Corinthians, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians, and we'll look at chapter 4. Familiar words that we'll be reading. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll begin reading at verse 3 down through verse 6. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan wants to turn off our light. But we don't have to let him do that, do we? We can keep our light shining. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We're to preach it. We're to preach it. 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2b, Paul writes, I charge thee therefore before God, preach the word. Preach the word. Third, praying for the will of God to be done. Do you think we ought to pray for God's will to be done? See, in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, we find in verse 10 this thought, Thy what be done? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The prayer that never fails. Thy will be done. I guarantee you there are times that my will is not God's will. Sometimes I think I know better, but I have found out that God knows best. And we need to pray for his will. Which brings us to the third point. Things in the church that rob God of his glory. Do you realize that right now in this body of believers, there are things that we can do that rob God of his glory? Do you believe that? You're afraid. You think that's a trick question, don't you? Well, it is. Malachi chapter 3, if you would, please. Malachi chapter 3. I remember one time asking the congregation to turn to Malachi chapter 3, and a man groaned. You'll see why in a moment. When a church fails to finance itself, it's not the United States government's responsibility to finance us. It's not the state of Michigan's responsibility to make sure that we have money to pay our electric bill and our heating bill. Aren't you glad we paid that to Detroit Edison and Consumer Power? I mean, you really would not want to meet in here if there was no heat. But notice what it says in verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. For ye robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out of blessings, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The church is responsibility for the furtherance of the gospel. This body of believers is responsible. Number two, when the attendance for worship is small, and today we have a smaller group that is here, but we're glad that you are here. And my dad, long time ago, said, don't preach at those that aren't here. Preach to those that are here. But if you would, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2. Jeremiah, chapter 2, we'll begin reading at verse 11 down through verse 13. When the attendance for worship is small, it robs God of his glory. And it says there in verse 11, hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people hath committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Not where they belong when it came to their worship. Number three, when holiness of life is ignored. Now I'm going to tell you this, it's hard to live a good godly life. It's hard. I mean, we live in a society that is full of me first. Now, I'm not going to ask any of you to raise your hand and say, yes, I put myself first, but I'm going to tell you what, I'll raise my hand for us, okay? Because I know what it's like to say, hey, I'm more important than you are. Did the Lord do that? He knew what needed to be done, and he did it. He did it. But 1 Peter 1:16 says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. I'm holy. Our last thought here under what robs God of his glory, when disunity prevails. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I see the clock in the back. And I know that for some of you, 12 o'clock means lunch. And you want to beat the Lutherans and the Methodists to the restaurant that you're planning to go to today. So we'll make sure you get out at a good time. But can there be disunity amongst believers? Unfortunately. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I begin reading at verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? These things take away the glory that is due our Lord. It is good when brethren dwell in unity. Which brings us to the conclusion. Thank you for not saying amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Some of my favorite thoughts to the believers at a church are found here, beginning at verse 24 down through verse 32. And Paul is writing to this church, and it says in verse 24, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." How about when you send a text? Should there be truth? Hello? Yes. It says here, putting away lying, speak every man truth unto his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, but let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, or even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving. Shall we stand together? Two questions. Number one, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you were to die, and hopefully it would not be like in California where there were some that are missing due to the wildfires, or those that were killed because of someone with a gun who was a coward and goes in and shoots unarmed people. But we have no guarantee of tomorrow. So do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? And if you do not, we'd be glad to have someone show you from the Word of God what you need to do to know the Lord. And number two, if you know the Lord is your Savior, are you bringing honor and glory to Him through your life? And are we as a church doing that which is right? Shall we pray, dear Heavenly Father, bless this time of invitation. Lord, may your name be honored and glorified. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.